Welcome to our Ulysses European Odyssey podcast. My name is Claudia Woolgar, and I spoke to a number of our amazing partners to find out what had inspired them to get involved in the project and what it had meant to them to be part of it. Happy listening. I'm here this afternoon with my colleague and now friend, Kees van der Meijden from Noorderlicht. Kees, we were the two Dutch partners in crime, and it's wonderful to have you here today.
Thank you.
I just wanted to take you back a long time ago to when you've decided to get involved in the project. Why? Why did you say yes when I asked you?
Yeah, but I still remember that you called me the other day, I think 2.5, 3 years ago, and you were, Noorderlicht was recommended by another colleague from you, but maybe this is something for Noorderlicht, because we are, as an organization, we are rather conscious about what is happening in society at the moment. So, and when you, and I'm always interested in experimental projects, which has something new, which nobody has done before. So, so it seemed to me a fascinating adventure, with a rebellious theme a la Joyce, of course, which is desperately needed in today's world, in my opinion, which is, today's world is sinking into prudishness, I think, and in people don't listen to each other anymore. And so, and this was, yeah, you talked about it with a lot of energy, and I saw it as an adventure, so let's do it. So I think we talked maybe in half an hour, and I said, yes, of course we do it, not knowing what was going to happen exactly. But I think when you, that belongs to the time as well nowadays, that people are so sensible to risks. So we only step into a project when almost everything is without any risk. So, and I like risks. So, and well, we made a wonderful project. So that's why I did it. So it's a lot of intuition, but also the awareness of what is going on in society, which is of course the basis of this project, and what Joyce did as well in his time. He was hitting against conventions, and sometimes that's necessary. I think we live in a time it's necessary again that we do something, well, spectacular.
No, absolutely. And I think just for our listeners, the theme which we had, which was offered for episode 13, was gender freedom, which, you know, one has a perception of the Netherlands as being incredibly liberal. We worked together on the project, and one assumes that gender freedom will sit incredibly comfortably in the Netherlands. But I think we found something different during the project.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think because that's why the we did this project in Leeuwarden in the province of Friesland, which is much more, I think, much more conservative than the province of Groningen, with this university city Groningen has, with about, I think, about 150,000 students, young people. So when we had done this project in between the walls of Groningen, it would kind of, how do you call this, preaching to the converted, and it makes no sense. So that was a challenge to position this project in a community which is maybe not so used to these kind of things. And we live in a time that also the whole discussion about LGBTQ issues is very, very difficult at the moment, much more difficult than maybe 10, 20 years ago. So, the image of Netherlands is very liberal, but it's let's say it's... reality is rather complex about this issue in the Netherlands as well.
And it's interesting, of course, because the Ulysses episode has these two voices in it.
Yeah.
It's got the Gertie McDowell voice looking at Stephen Dedalus, and then he's looking at her, and the two perceptions are completely different, which really, I suppose, is the Netherlands as well. There are two sides to this issue.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
like in almost every European country, there's a big difference between people living in big cities with universities and many young people, and people who don't. But it doesn't have to do with tolerance. I think people, in a sense, in when you look deep into the heart of a human being, also a farmer in the middle of the country of Friesland, and maybe people are rather tolerant. Because so we have to be very careful about not to push too hard this discussion into the people. And that's why I really admire the combination with the Turkish project, which is more light, more soft, more gentle than the rather harsh project we made about sexual freedom with artist Hester Schurwater. So these two sides are exactly the same two sides which you can recognize in Dutch society as well.
Yes, absolutely. And what did it do for Noorderlicht being involved in this huge, great big project? Did it take the organization new?
Look, Noorderlicht, I've been there director for about 8 years now, because I retired, as you know, a few months ago. But Noorderlicht already exists about 33 years and always was ahead in the in societal discussions. But one who didn't have much attention yet was this gender issue. So it really made it broke into the agenda of Noorderlicht. It's the first time that we did something such prominent as this sex shooter and gender freedom project did, and now it's on the agenda. I know, because my the next director is putting this every year on the agenda. Not very in the same time as we had this project in Leeuwarden, there was a few months later, there was an exhibition with students about gender freedom. So, and it continues now. So it really did something for Noorderlicht, I think. Yeah.
Symposium, it was the first time both of our organizations had arranged a symposium. How do you think that worked in terms of addressing the theme?
Yeah, I think to be honest, I think the symposium was rather well visited. It's our colleague from Amsterdam who was the moderator said it's okay. There are more people than you should have had in Amsterdam, but I think this was a bit preaching for the converted. I don't think we had people really outside our own bubble into this symposium. But look, it's the beginning of something. And that's why I think it's so wonderful that Noorderlicht puts this gender issue every year on the agenda, because it's starting of something. This whole project, Ulysses, with the 309, Charter 309 and the book, it starts something. So we have to be aware of that, I think. But of course, I would have had 1,000 people at the symposium and 20,000 people at the exhibition. Now, it were 40, 45 people at the symposium. I think 3,000 or 4,000, I don't know exactly, visited to the exhibition. But we have to be okay with it, I think.
Within the context of Leeuwarden and Friesland.
Yeah.
But it was very difficult to find, even looking at the fact that a literary great book was the first image that anybody got of the project, it was still really difficult to find a broader audience, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's really difficult. But it has become more difficult than, like I said in the beginning, 10, 20 years ago. It's the prudishness is coming up again, and maybe it's a flow. It will change again in the next future. I think, I don't know, but I think it will. So we have to be very careful about it. So don't be impatient about these kind of developments. So we started something, I think. That's why it's important that it will go on, and that's of course to do with European subsidy and so on, and it has to do with people like you, Claudia.
And people like you, Case. We will keep on going. Listen, when you look back, because, you know, we're coming to the end of the project, and you and I have travelled together to see some of the events. Mm-hmm. Lots of stories there, which this podcast is not the right place for. But when you look back, what will you take away as your biggest memory, as the highlight of the project?
Maybe something I thought about it. It's, of course, we did a big show, a wonderful show in Leeuwarden, and I saw some wonderful projects, which the project in Romania, in Cluj, Napoca. But I think the most wonderful thing, the really highlight, is that we got a group of 20, 30 people together, which didn't know each other at all, but it had become a kind of family. So I really hope this group will go on in some way, because that's the biggest, most important result of the project, that it brought together people who were very critical about each other, but there was a kind of unity as well. So we call it a family. It really was, yeah. It's, so this should make Noorderlicht aware of how important it is, but it should be, because I'm not the director anymore, so, but I think they will do that. Aware that it's so important to have contacts with people from within the art and culture world, and not only with the visual arts, but also with the performing arts, with the writers and so on. This the multidisciplinarity of this project was wonderful as well. So that's maybe the other highlight. But I don't know what. No, it's not a specific thing or project or an event. No, it was that it brought very diverse people together, and that's great, I think. Should be
no, and I look back on our collaboration with immense pride. I've really enjoyed working with you and with Noorderlicht.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah, it was wonderful, and we've become friends. So
we've become friends. We're being very professional in this discussion, but we have become friends. And thank you for saying yes when I picked up the phone.
Of course, it was a pleasure. It really was a pleasure. It was one of the most wonderful projects I did in my days during Noorderlicht. So,
Well, I think that's the perfect point to end on. Thank you so much, Casey.
Okay.
All the very best.
And you as well, Claudia, for inviting me.
Thank you.
The other day. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.